The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Seven on the Central Coast on this Thursday, December 1st, 2022. I'm Dave Congleton. Good to be with you. Before we pick up the topic at hand here, let me just have a minute to remind you, please, it's time for the 6th annual KVC Sock Drop. In partnership with our friends at Supercuts, we are looking for new, brand new, unused socks. Please help us collect socks for those in need. All the socks that we collect will be divided among the staffs at the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, Echo up in North County, and 40 Prouder right here in San Luis Obispo to distribute to those in need. There are five Supercuts locations participating, two in San Luis, one in Paso, one in Rio Grande, one in Napomo. Everything you need to know is either on the KVEC app or at 920kvec.com. We're doing this all the way through December 22nd. So please, as you're out and about shopping, get some new socks, take them to Supercuts, put them in the barrel, and we thank you in advance. Still to come on this broadcast, attorney Mike Nolan at 505. Why is it taking so long for us to process the votes in this county? Are we ever going to know who won the District 2 race? I'm not sure. My next guest would love to know the outcome of that race. It might help him on Tuesday. Brent Burchett is back with us from the County Farm Bureau. How are you, sir?
Uncle Dave, good to be with you, sir.
Thanks for coming in. Do I treat you nicer than the station in Paso Robles?
You are both nice. I like hearing myself talk, so I'll go on.
What a politician. What a political answer.
K-Jug this morning.
What a politician.
AGM, American General Media, I'll start sending me some checks, Dave,
did
all
you,
my work
Did you
here.
Talk about this on K-Jug?
I did.
Really?
As much as we could get into
really?
The Tom and Becky show.
How much time did they give you?
I get like 10 minutes. They're very gracious. We get the Groves on 41, an olive oil farm, sponsors that every Thursday, and it's been awesome. So we get to, usually we talk about lighthearted stuff, but
Get 10 minutes on K-Chuck?
I get 10 minutes in the mornings.
Wow.
If you sweet talk Tom
now, what are you
Becky,
doing here? What are you doing here?
Hey, this is the in-depth listeners.
Yeah,
people are really
it.
Concerned.
That's
here.
It. Anyway, good to see you. We're going to preview the Tuesday County Board of Supervisors meeting. Charles Varney was here earlier this week. This is turning out to be some meeting.
Yeah.
He's trying to preserve the Oceano Advisory Council. They're going to vote on that, whether or not it should be dissolved. You're here about the Paso Basin Planting Ordinance.
Yeah. And the official title is Paso Basin Land Use Management Area Planting Ordinance. So I just shortened it down.
So as we march through the hour, you're going to keep this nice and simple.
Lord, I'll try, Dave. It is a doozy.
All right. So what's at stake here? What's the issue?
We got a very much positive intention, but this thing is not worth the negative unintended consequences. So the board majority is trying something that I can totally understand and is important, and I agree with the concept absolutely. They're wanting to remedy their past mistake in 2013 where they created this ag offset ordinance. Basically, it kind of froze the amount of planting. You couldn't do new planting unless you made it water neutral by removing crops. People that did not have irrigation within, I believe, 5 years preceding that were essentially locked out. And that's no doubt unfair, not right. Private property rights, we absolutely agree that this is a problem.
So when you say the board majority, we're talking about Arnold Compton and Pashaw.
Yeah, and I think the other supervisors also have frustration with that. I shouldn't say just them, but we have argued, and the board majority has disagreed with this, that the better solution is to keep with this, albeit imperfect, but the current planting ordinance that absolutely is unfair to some people, but keep that going for a couple more years until the groundwater sustainability plan, which is a state-based law that gets administered at the county level by the county board of supervisors, has the majority vote. Water districts have it, City of Paso, Shannon, San Miguel. That vehicle is the better way to regulate groundwater, and we're going to have to do that.
Craig, let me know when 10 minutes are up.
Everybody's asleep. Everybody's
I'm confused turned. Already.
So this ordinance is trying to do a positive thing. Right now, a lot of these people are capped at 5 acre feet per year. Some people have 0 acre feet per year, and that is absolutely a problem. I agree with that. However, when the county has attempted to create this new ordinance to replace the old one, they had to go through a environmental impact review. And that is not something the supervisors get to choose. That is something that's dictated by the state. So when they have these, you have to look at air quality, impact on cultural resources, on wetland areas, all these lists of things, and endangered species, the list goes on and on. When you have an impact, such as allowing more ag activity, which we're Farm Bureau, we like more ag activity, but to allow that change in our land use code, it required them to mitigate the impacts. So think of the diesel tractors out there in the field, think of the pumping. So unfortunately, this well-intentioned thing has now created a monstrous list of mitigation measures, and I'll give you just a taste of them. So if you're subject to the ordinance, and any farmer that is changing different crops, if you're going from grapes, maybe you pull them out and put in alfalfa for a year, or you're changing from vegetables back to pasture or something like that, you are now subject to a whole list of new things, including, the first time ever, a new 50-foot setback from riparian and wetland areas. And I'm not talking about the Salinas River. We're talking about any blue line streams. These things are all over the basin. So basically, that's going to force you to take that area out of production. A first time ever mandatory reporting of monthly irrigation water use to the county. You know, that may be inevitable, but we have not had that to date. Here's a doozy. A new dust control regulation with things like paving your farm roads and installing speed bumps along your field to mitigate the air quality.
I'm all for that. Speed bumps on farmland.
And this is in place until 2045. So it's a 22-year land use ordinance. And if you're a small farmer, you're thinking, okay, well, something's better than nothing. At least this gives them a chance. It's going to lock them into 25 acre feet for the next 22 years. Mm. We would rather go ahead.
On the Stolberg text line, we're already getting criticism about you. A listener is saying, your guest is bought and paid for. He represents the biggest water users in the county for at least a Paso Basin.
I represent 700 farm families, and we're a 100-year-old organization. I drive a 2008 Toyota Tacoma with about 200,000 miles on it, live in a little dinky one-room apartment in SLO. So if I'm getting bought and paid for, where's my check at? Y'all let me know when I'm getting my big pay raise. And I know people love to denigrate others that disagree with their policy, and that's fine, but that's not what we need. If you say that, you go read this Paso Basin plant ordinance. You read that booger and you still think it's good, then I'll stand corrected. But anybody that reads that thing and is an actual farmer or rancher in this county, it's a nightmare.
All right, then why is this going to be most likely a 3-2 vote either way? Why is it not going to be unanimous in your favor?
I'm hopeful it will be. I know that when people are passionate about a certain issue, they will stick to that. And I would argue they are ignoring the real absolute consequences, and they're obsessed, and they're missing the forest for the trees. They think they're helping a small farmer, but when they look at all these things, and the small farmers will also have to do a greenhouse gas and carbon sequestration mitigation. From my research, in the United States, we've never had a government, local, state, or federal, mandate farmers to do carbon sequestration. This is a terribly crafted ordinance that's going to be such a burden. These small farmers are going to have to go out and get a geologist to give them a report that says the act of them planting this amount of crops, it'll be equivalent to 25 acre feet of water use, that won't impact their neighbor within 700 yards and have their well decline by, I can't remember what the measurement is, but it's a lot of stuff. Ain't nothing that's cheap.
So who's pushing this then, Brent? Who's advocating this?
This has been the board majority. Supervisor Arnold has been very passionate about it. And let me be clear that we work very well with Supervisor Arnold on a whole lot of things. Uh-huh. And I have met with her on this dude probably 3 or 4 times. She has taken some of our input and absolutely incorporated that. We were real concerned that the routine replanting of crops. So as the ordinance stands today, thankfully, if you're just removing, let's say, 10 acres of grapes and replacing it with 10 acre grapes, you are not subject to the ordinance as long as that's happening on the same site. At the onset, we were afraid that it was going to be everybody when they went to replant. So Supervisor Arnold doesn't want that. She doesn't want these mitigation measures. And I would just argue that all these problems, the cure is worse than the disease we've got.
So what's the call to action? What do you want people to do before Tuesday?
I want people to read for themselves and not take their talking points from a radio ad or what their political local buddies think, and go read this thing. Go to slowfarmbureau.org. We've got a link to the ordinance. And if there's something I've missed and we're wrong on this, you call me out. I'm not perfect, but I have been studying this thing for a long time.
Well, I would assume, though, beyond that, you want people to contact their supervisor.
I do. I want you to contact your supervisor. Now, if you disagree with me, just don't worry about contact. No, I'm just kidding. You should absolutely, whatever your opinion is, whether you agree with me or not, and this ain't just Farm Bureau. Every agriculture organization in this county, SLO County Cattlemen's Association, do you think they would back something that was, you know...
yeah, who do you got on your side?
We got everybody. We got the... First off, the Planning Commission heard this about a month ago, voted unanimously against it. Each of the supervisors gets an appointee. So their own appointee said this was a terrible thing. We got the Cattlemen's Association, Wine Country Alliance, the Grower Shippers Association of Santa Barbara and SLO County. That's the vegetable producers. We've got the SLO County Ag Liaison Advisory Board, which has representatives from small farms, organic farms, strawberry growers, our two resource conservation districts, nursery growers, ag finance, and appointees from all five supervisor districts. So ain't nobody supporting this that's read it. And I know there's a popular political sentiment, and I heard some radio ads on KPRL, but those folks are just taking the who and not the what. Don't worry about the who.
So what's the popular sentiment?
That this is a private property rights remedy, and this is a great thing and absolutely has no negative unintended consequences. And if that were the case, we wouldn't be fighting this thing. If it was just a 25-acre feet increase, that's more ag. That's okay. But all this other stuff, and I would use a different word for it, but you're not supposed to say on the radio.
Please don't.
A lot of other junk that is absolutely bad. And if you think yourself a private property rights person, you read this thing. You tell me if you still believe that this is a good idea.
All right. I think it's a good idea that we break away, but we'll come back on the other side with Brent Burchett from the SLO County Farm Bureau. We're talking about the Paso Basin Planting Ordinance. It comes before the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday. It's before you right now. We're live. We're local. This is Hometown Radio. KVC News Talk time is 4:21. I'm Dave Congleton. We're in conversation with Brent Burchett from the SLO County Farm Bureau, talking about the Paso Basin Planting Ordinance. Comes before the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday. If I'm interpreting Brent correctly, this sounds like a very close vote. It could go either way. For folks just tuning in, let's remind them what is happening on Tuesday, sir.
We're having a vote about whether to replace the existing agriculture offset ordinance, which has been in place in the Paso Robles groundwater basin since 2013. The supervisors have a very positive intention. They're trying to right the wrong of the past to allow more water usage in the Paso Basin, going from either 0 or 5 acre feet, raising that to everyone for 25 acre feet. And I absolutely know that sounds good, and I would have no problem with that if that was just what we were doing. But in order to do that, the county is required to follow state law, and that includes an environmental impact report. When they did that, they came up with all these mitigation measures. That is the source of our frustration. That is why Farm Bureau, Cattlemen's Association, wine growers, everybody that's looked at this thing is saying vote no.
805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832 if you want in on this conversation and talk to Mr. Burchett. If Pashong and Arnold are in favor of this, why not listen to them, because they're the North County representatives?
I believe they have not fully appreciated how damaging these mitigation measures are. And I hope we can compromise. I hope we can limit the negative impact as much as we can. But I feel like they have just been talking about this for so long that they've climbed up this tree and they can't seem to get off of it. They just really are focused hard on getting this through. And I know they don't want all these negative things, but the reality is we're going to be stuck with those for 22 years. Let's use the groundwater sustainability plan process instead.
George is with us in Santa Margarita. Hey, George.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, George.
Hello, Brent.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. So I understand you're not supportive of the ordinance?
That is correct, George.
Okay, let me ask you this question. If the ordinance were to pass, it would basically regulate the water usage so that everybody can somewhat continue to use what they're using, but they would have to account for it and not wasted. Am I correct?
Not exactly. So you're right on they're going to allow everybody in the basin to use up to 25 acre feet.
Go ahead. And then the other point was, what's wrong? The 50-foot setbacks from riparian habitat, that's a good thing.
I would disagree.
A lot of this stuff doesn't have to be a part of the ordinance. It can be pulled out by the board.
I don't know. We asked that question of the I met with Supervisor Bichong this morning, and there are certain things that they cannot remove under that's state law, that when you have an impact to the environment, whether it's, you know, the cultural resources, the air quality, the water quality, if you have a way to fix the impact you're making, you're required to identify it and mitigate it. If you have ones that you can't mitigate, for example, the overall increase in pumping, so all these new 25-acre-feet people using more water, that they have no mitigation for that. They have to do a statement of overriding consideration, which is a legal term to say, we recognize the impact, we identified it, but we think that there's other justification for not addressing it.
George, are you in favor of the ordinance?
Here's the aspect that I'm in favor of.
All right.
I suspect that, like Harvard, the Harvard Foundation, the Justin Winery, J. Laurel Winery, those guys that are farming thousands of acres in grapes, for all I know, they're using more water than they should be. And this ordinance would probably require them to use what they need, not just hoard water for future entitlements.
It actually wouldn't. So the existing pumpers, including the ones you're talking about, will be able to continue pumping what they already have been. It would not limit their pumping. That will happen.
And I'm curious, just how much have these wineries? You must have a rough figure. Let's say 10,000 acres of grapes. How many acre feet of water are they pumping?
The county actually has a copy of that in the ordinance itself. It's a table. They call it the water duty factor. And I believe for wine grapes, it's 1.25 acre feet of water. The highest water users would be alfalfa. So if you were cutting alfalfa, that would be 4.5 acre feet.
Where's the wine industry on this issue, Brent?
They're opposed to it. I think probably, given how costly this is going to be for a small farmer to actually use, I think the most likely utilizers are going to be the bigger players. They're the ones that can afford to go out and lease a whole lot of ground. They can pay for a hydrogeologist. They can pay to have somebody check their well records and report that. That's just these things happen. You probably know this, George. They have good intentions, but it really hurts the smaller farmer the most.
What else, George?
Here's the biggest problem I see with regulating people's property rights through ordinances. What happens is our constitutional water rights, our state constitutional water rights for reasonable beneficial use of overrider rights, that's the state constitution. If we start accepting county board of supervisor ordinances on what we can do with our land, there's no end to that. And then pretty soon we find out that whatever we want to do becomes a board of supervisors decision when it's not their purview.
I agree with you, George, and I would to play devil's advocate, and I know Supervisor Arnold has said this before, when the board voted for this, it was couched to them as a temporary timeout, and I bet good money that if she could go back in time, they would oppose this thing. It was 9 years ago. Then they reauthorized it. So there was a gap, 2013 and I believe 2015. They had to, because it was an urgency ordinance, then they had to make it a limited term, semi-permanent ordinance, the one we got today. So to be fair, currently today we already have an ordinance. And what they're attempting to do is to make it better. And I understand that. They're going from 5 to 25 acre feet. Now, I have members that are worried about the further decline of the basin, how that's going to impact existing farmers. But set that aside, it's these mitigation measures that are really the nightmare.
Why, the increasing drought, is that a factor?
Absolutely. And the drought is not going away. And, you know, we're going to have a huge discussion in Paso Robles about how much we cut back water. Do we have all that? You know, do we do 20% cutback for everybody? Do we tier it based on usage? How do we pay for that? Those decisions are coming up. That's in the groundwater sustainability plan.
All right, George, thanks for the call. Brett Burchett is with us from the Slo County Farm Bureau. County Board of Supervisors on Tuesday takes up the Paso Basin Planting Ordinance. We are taking it up now. We've got California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Craig updates us with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. We'll take more of your phone calls and continue our conversation. This is Hometown Radio. So here it is, December 1st. We still don't know who won the District 2 County Supervisor race. some of these school board races are still too close to call because they're still counting the votes. Attorney Mike Nolan is going to join us during the 5 o'clock hour to explain what is going on. Brent Burchett is with us from the Slo County Farm Bureau. Big meeting with the County Board of Supervisors on Tuesday. They're taking up a couple of different issues that we have been covering. Earlier in the week, Charles Varney was with us because it looks like they're going to dissolve the Oceano Advisory Council. Brent is here specifically to talk about the Paso Basin Planting Ordinance. If you want in on the conversation, give us a call, 805-543-8830. You can also call in at 800-549-5832. As Brent is explaining his concerns about the vote and hoping that the Board of Supervisors will not do this. If they do, though, on a 3-2 vote, I guess the only option you would have would be to go to court.
We are, and we do have an attorney. I hope we don't have to go that route, but this thing has got long-term implications. This is as it's written today, and we've asked for a different sunset date, so to speak. Right now, it's listed at 2045, so we're going to be stuck with this booger for the next 22 years.
Why? What's the magic number of 22 years?
The rationale was that under the state's groundwater sustainability plan, it's a requirement to get the basins that are overdrafted, including the Paso Robles groundwater basin, and they have to get the basin into balance by 2040. And I think Supervisor Arnold just wanted to tack on an extra 5 years. I would argue that the groundwater sustainability plan can actually achieve what they're trying to achieve. It just can't happen today because we have to wait on the state to approve our plan, and then we can get to work. And we're going to be complaining about that thing, too, no doubt. But that is the better structure for the way of regulating groundwater. This effort to regulate groundwater by the land use, by the planting of crops, it's the wrong way to go.
805-543-8830. Back on the phones we go. Stephen is in Paso on KVEC. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good. Thank you.
I had a question for Brent. You know, a lot of people hearing that it's going from 5 acre feet to 25 acre feet think that that's a win for growers. It'd be good to hear how that actually is going to impact the small or medium-sized growers by having what seems like more water when in actuality may be restrictive.
Right. So first point is kind of hard to wrap your head around, but this 25 acre feet, this cap is going to be in place until 2045. So number one is they're going to be limited, whereas under the groundwater sustainability plan, we might be able to do more pumping in certain parts of the basin if the groundwater levels allow. This basin is unique. It's not one size fits all. It's really going to have an unprecedented greenhouse gas and carbon sequestration. You're like, what the heck is that? For the first time ever, this government, county government, and I don't know of any government in the United States that's ever mandated and said, all right, in order for you to plant crops, you have to then offset your carbon, your greenhouse gases by doing these, you know, practices that a lot of farmers already do voluntarily, like cover cropping, composting, but we don't mandate that. That's not how, especially in Slo County.
You incentivize it.
You incentivize it, and I know there's probably environmental justice folks that think, oh, we need that, but that works a lot better when it's coming from the farm, it's locally driven, it's not a county regulation that somebody's just checking the box. Next thing, this requirement to get a geologist. So before you plant this amount of crops, this small farm, to get your 25 acre feet, you have to hire a geologist, perform a hydrology report that says you planting crops, is it going to impact your neighbor's wells?
Stephen, what do you think of the idea of the ordinance?
I think that it needs a little bit more thought. It feels like that the experts and the people in the community know that something different's going to happen than what's intended. And so I think maybe more discussions need to be in place before we get something that's more sustainable for the long-term future.
Yeah. Hi, Stephen. Thanks for checking in. What do you say, Brent?
The GSP is just that, the Groundwater Sustainability Plan. It's the long-term vehicle. It is required by state law. And if we just, you know, dither around at the county level, the state takes over. So all this increased water, if we're not getting our act together, if we continue to allow this basin to be overdrafted, we're all going to be in trouble because we don't want the state running this deal.
805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832 for Brent Burchett from the Slo County Farm Bureau. Here's Eric on KVEC. Hi, Eric.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hi.
First off, I want to correct Brent. He gave George bad information. 1.25 is what the county says people use. If you want to go out to Creston, I specialize in irrigation system, and I've timed what goes on out in Creston, especially at Harvard, or not Creston, but Shandon. they're using a lot more than 1.25 acre
gotcha.
Feet. So his question was, what are those guys using? You said what the county says it takes. They're using double, triple that amount.
And I've heard every farmer tell me they're using less than that. I've went to...
give me a break. When you're using overhead sprinklers, you can figure out the gallonage and see how long it's on for.
Well,
how many
days
it's on for. This is simple mathematics, man. You can lie for your membership, but give me a break.
I'm not lying. That's a bit bold.
Lie. You told them they're using 1.25. That's what the county says you can use. Now, what I would like to know is if you would support an ordinance that said if you used over that, you'd be fined or lose your water rights.
Well, if you're in agriculture, you know that different times of year you're using different amount of water. If you're having different varieties of grapes in different parts of the basin, you're using different amounts of water. So for you to paint this broad brush like I was lying, I'm just reading what's in the report. Now, your point is everybody uses different water. I agree with that. But don't act like I'm lying about something. That's ridiculous.
He asked a very specific question.
Okay,
well,
maybe
a non-specific answer. He asked you what three different farmers were using.
Well, I don't know what three different farmers were using.
And didn't you say that?
Okay. Maybe I should have said it better, Eric. Thank you for correcting me.
So, I should speak. So, Eric.
So, would you support, we'll just say everybody can only use 1.25 per acre if you're planting grapes, 3 to 4 if you're at alfalfa. Would you support that you lose your right to water if you start using 3 acre feet per acre on grapes? Or you pay ridiculous fines if you're over pumping?
No.
That could be a very good way to bring our basin back into sustainability, to find out if these people are overpumped.
Sure. Well, if my members decide that's a good thing, and you get a room full of farmers and ranchers together, you're going to get a whole lot of different opinions.
Hey, Eric, what do you think of the ordinance?
There is not a good ordinance. The emergency ordinance is ridiculous. You have a lot of these big guys that took advantage of it every time it lapsed. They just would plant more. They'd plant alfalfa and turn their pumps on. These guys have pumps that can pump more than they could ever do on their acreage. A lot of these bigger people like Harvard, Lohr, et cetera. If you look at their pumping systems, it's more than their acreage could ever sustain. Why are they doing that? So when the ordinances lapse, they can turn the pumps up.
Well,
they can buy more property.
And you correct me on
this. And they can abuse our water.
And you correct me on this, Eric. The only water credit they get, though, is what's in the table. So the 1.25 acre feet, let's say they pulled out grapes and put another crop, it's got to match that 1.25. So even if they were over pumping, to your argument, they wouldn't get credit for that.
Mm. No, I'm asking that they get fine for that if they are over pumping.
Well, if we don't all work together in this basin, you got a valid point that we're absolutely going to be in trouble and won't be no water for anybody.
All right, Eric, thank you. Welcome to Ag Today. I'm Dave Congleton. We've got Bob on KVEC. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, I got 2 points. One is that they keep bringing up this, we're representing families who have been farming for 100 years. Well, back then, they were dry farming almonds, walnuts, and they were growing winter grain. And in the last 40 years, the water use has gone from 5,000 acre feet per residential and 6,000 per agriculture to about 6,000 per residential and 60,000 to agriculture. It's ridiculous that we spend all this money on waste all this water on non-food crops. It's all driven by money. It's not 100-year-old farm families anymore.
I agree.
And they're not using the water that they used 100 years ago.
Hang on, Bob.
No, if we had to choose between an acre of food that we can eat versus wine grapes, you have a very valid point, but I would argue that the wine grape industry has a huge impact on tourism, on providing jobs. But I hear the argument. I hear the same one about animals. Should we ban animals because we're growing hay to feed them? And I like eating meat. I like choice. I don't want the government dictating what crops I grow on my farm.
Bob?
Basically, if you don't want the government dictating what crops you grow, you don't want the government regulating groundwater. And the person with the deeper well sucks the water down and leaves the poor person with the shallow well with no water, which we are seeing happen right now.
Yeah.
And the wine growers don't care. And I would say that the water is more important than jobs or tourism.
Water is essential. And if we get, you know, as those wells get deeper, the quality of the water goes down. And that impacts everybody. So we have got to work together. And this groundwater sustainability plan, you're going to have tough decisions just like what you're talking about. But it's not going to be a let's all point fingers at each other. We got to work together as a community.
All right, Bob, thank you. But before the next call, you're talking about working together. But if you don't get your way, you're going to go to court.
We're going to go to court and challenge the EIR. So the Environmental Impact Report has some big gaps in it, and we'll identify those next week. But we need to make sure that we're representing our members. And this thing, if it wasn't till 2045, if this was something that was going to be just a one flash in the pan, it's not. This is going to fundamentally change relationship between SLO County government and agriculture.
Well, I'll come back to that in a minute. First, let's hear Mark in San Luis. Hey, Mark.
Hi. So you're essentially a paid lobbyist for this group. So no matter what anybody proposes, you're taking the immediate effect of what's good for your group. Is that correct?
I am absolutely paid for by SLO County Farm Bureau members. They pay my salary. If they advocate for something, I follow them.
You're a lobbyist.
Yes, absolutely. Yes or no? Absolutely.
Okay, there you go. When I look at the Central Valley, which they are ruining, they may have already ruined their aquifer. We're headed in the same direction, and you point out to the wine industry provides so many jobs. I bet of 99% of the jobs they provide, 1% of those employed could afford to buy a medium-priced house in Paso Robles.
Well, if you want to look at the actual numbers, Cal Poly did a study that shows the economic impact of the wine industry.
No, I'm talking the people that are employed in the business itself.
No, I know a lot of people work in the wine industry, and it's a good job, and nobody's forcing them to work for the wine industry. If there's another great job, I'm sure they're looking at it. They're not just working there for fun.
No, I agree. That's true. I'm just saying the industry, you said it brings a lot of jobs, but out of the 99% who work for it, 1% could afford to buy a medium house in Paso Robles.
Well, I can't afford to buy a house either, so I feel their pain. So it's,
well, there you go. There you go.
I don't know
and
why it, we
and
can.
It's taking a lot of resources. Anyway,
Mark, what do you think about the ordinance?
I think it has to be looked at. Australia has gone to such a point; they've ruined a lot of their farmland, and in their situations, a lot of farmers have got together and they finally got religion and they replanted their creeks and. They're harvesting water wherever they can, and they're getting they're turning back into economics. We're not where Australia is, but we're headed there, and they've done a lot of restoration of creeks and water and the study of water, and they've had to make some painful decisions, and now they're getting some benefits from the way they're farming. They've had to make some major changes. A lot of them would have lost their farm 20 years ago, and now the country's embracing it because their water situation is that dire in that country. So I think we're headed there, but I think this gentleman here, I think he's just, no matter what you do, he's going to sue you or whatever, so he can push through the short-term effect. I mean, the wine industry hit Paso, and they just started sucking the water dry there and with no consideration, and now they have to defend their actions, and I understand money's money, but it's starting to affect it.
And this ordinance does not stop that. If this passes, the people you're talking about will still continue pumping. What I'm saying is I don't want any farmer, whether small or large, to have to go out and do a riparian setback, a dust control plan, and pave their farm roads, put in speed bumps, report to the county every year what their water usage is every month.
What about what Mark was saying about Australia?
Oh, I think it's a totally valid point that farming is going to absolutely look different 5, 10, 15 years down the road. Our climate challenges are not going away. Things are going to get more difficult, not less. So I think you're absolutely right. We should look at Australia and Israel and other places that have been dealing with drought longer than we have because it is the new norm.
All right, Mark, thank you. If you want in on this conversation with Brent Burchett from the SLO County Farm Bureau, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. As we talk about the Paso Basin Planting Ordinance coming before the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday. Ted is in San Luis. Hi, Ted.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
We're good, Ted. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, I just want to correct one thing that Mark said, and it's a little bit off topic, but he referred to the people in the Central Valley the farmers overdrafting and that they're creating all this, kind of implying they're creating damage. And the truth of the matter is that the damage is really created by the river of water flowing over the Tehachapi Mountains to Los Angeles, because the San Joaquin Valley is water rich, but the water is being stolen from the San Joaquin Valley and sent to L.A.
You got a valid point, Ted. The allocation of water, it's nothing more controversial in California than water, and I think the infrastructure we've not developed, we've got money that taxpayers have put aside for water infrastructure, and we've not seen those projects go, and that's a failure at the state level.
Ted, any thoughts on the ordinance?
I really don't know it. My family's kind of involved in some of that other water stuff in the valley, and I don't know, but when I hear you talk about 25-acre feet, I hope that's not someone's water allocation, because that's almost landscape.
That's correct. 25-acre feet, and it's a valid point that it's enough to maybe do, a 10-acre vineyard, a small vegetable operation. It'd be difficult to have a viable farm operation on that. You're absolutely right.
All right, Ted, thanks for checking in. We'll come back for a final segment with Brent Burchard. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live. We're local. This is Hometown Radio. Feel fine whenever Brent Burchard's on this broadcast. He's with the County Farm Bureau. Is this an uphill battle, what you're doing here?
Absolutely. It's
yeah,
a challenge.
So you admit that. I mean, the callers seem to be against you.
Yeah, well, people that call in talk radio, I know, are not necessarily representative of everybody in the community.
Hey, so hey.
Well, they got their preconceived notions, and all I'm just saying is go read it. You don't have to take my word for nothing. I don't care. People act like I lie because I get paid for the Farm Bureau. My family's been farming all my whole life. I've been in this game a long time.
And let me defend you. You're not a lobbyist. You're an advocate. There's a difference.
Yeah, and if this was something immoral, I just wouldn't do it. I'd quit. And people love to call in and act like they got all the answers. And don't call me a liar. That's just goofy. I wasn't lying about nothing.
805-543-8830. If you want in on this conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. Meanwhile, Brent, as you've been stressing throughout the hour, people need to email their supervisor.
That's
because
right.
The vote, do you expect the vote on Tuesday, or might it be delayed?
It will absolutely be on Tuesday. It'll be in the afternoon session at 1:30, so you can learn more at slowfarmbureau.org about how to submit your comments. I can't remember their new email. It's Board of Soups. Anyway, don't take my word for it. You can also go to a Slow County Government website, look for the Board of Supervisors agenda. You can find the contact information or come in person. And if you got a different take on this, I think the more voices, the better.
What's the worst implication of this?
We have set a precedent that we're going to have these mitigation measures in our land use code for the next 22 years. That when I go, let's say I do a normal thing like my grapes all of a sudden get a disease on them, or there's a pest that I have to pull those out, and maybe I need to rotate alfalfa for a couple years. When as soon as I do that, now I've got to do all this new junk. I got to do all this 50-foot setback from riparian areas. And I'm not talking about a big river. I'm talking about little blue line streams that only exist on a map.
And that's not coming from Debbie Arnold. That must be coming from staff.
It's no. This argument, staff that cooks stuff up, I don't give it much credence. But if she wants to do this thing, the 5 to 25 acre feet, by state law, they're required to mitigate those impacts. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope they can pull something out of their hat and get rid of those things. But I don't think you can. That's California Environmental Quality Act. That's EIR, Environmental Impact Review.
Is there any other county in California that has adopted a similar approach?
No, not for routine planting. There are counties that have a restrictions, like if you're planting on a slope of greater than 5 or 10%, it triggers certain kind of setbacks and mitigation measures for dust, erosion control. But nothing like this. Nowhere in the United States have they ever told a farmer that they have to go out and sequester greenhouse gases because they're planting crops. We've never had a regulation that said farm roads need to be paved and have speed bumps on there. It's a joke.
You've intrigued a caller on the Stolberg text line. They want to know where you're from. The bluegrass state. The bluegrass state.
I'm glad you didn't say Tennessee. Everybody always says Tennessee, and I get fighting words in Kentucky. So I'm born and raised in Kentucky. My wife, Kaya, is from Slo County. She brought me out here about 4 years ago, and we're married and live in San Luis Obispo now.
All right. Here's Garth on KVEC. Hey, Garth.
Hey, David. Hi, Brad.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you? I know on August 18 you met with Arnold and other county officials. And would your opinion change about about this if some of the mitigation measures were dropped?
Yes, absolutely.
And which measures would those be?
Oh, the worst ones are the 50-foot riparian setback, the dust control plan, the greenhouse gas sequestration, the requirement to get a hydrogeologist report for planting crops, and the timeline, the 2045, it's just
there's
too
like,
long.
There's like six different things there.
Sorry.
So basically all of them.
Yeah, really.
That's
all,
fair.
All
that's all. I was trying to think of one I could live with, but as soon as you get these regulations, they're always just going to get worse. Once you get them on the books, they don't go away, and you know that, Gar.
Well, when this comes before the supervisors, do you anticipate any of those measures to be dropped?
If they could, they would, and they would have done it before now. This final version, I'm not an attorney, and I could be wrong, but everyone I've talked to at the county has said if there's mitigation measures identified, you have to implement those. That's state law, but let's hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, Garth. Thank you very much. Don's up in Cambria. Hey, Don.
Hey there. Good evening. Thank you for elucidating so clearly the stuff that's in this bill. What a hideous bit of overregulation. It's just going to drive out, in my opinion, it would be driving out marginal farmers trying to pave farm roads. Give me a break.
I agree. It's scary, and I hate that, you know, something that's positive intent, that it's got all this junk attached to
then
it.
Then why are three conservatives likely to vote for it?
That's a great question. Answer that, please.
Let's hope that your voice and others and the Cattlemen's Association, the Farm Bureau, the Planning Commission, Growership.
But three conservatives are pushing this.
I think there's strength in numbers, and they've known that for a long time, that if they all stick together, they can get stuff done. But I'm hoping this will be an exception. I'm hoping we can see the real consequences of this and not talk about hypothetical, maybe potential benefits. We got people that are full-time farmers and ranchers telling you this is bad news.
Don?
The only thing I ever farmed was barley, and I just, dust control, no way. I'd be out of it. Thank you. Good
all
luck.
Right, Don, thank you. Good call. All right, I got 30 seconds left for a final thought from Brent Burchett.
Today it's raining, and I'm so thankful we're getting some rain, and we need this rain every day for the next 6 months, just a nice, good, slow, soaking rain. And this is the exception, though. We're still in drought. We're still in a bad situation. This basin, everybody likes to fight about water and point fingers, but I can tell you what, this is a special agriculture community. We have a $2.5 billion ag economy. It supports lots of jobs in this county. It supports a lot of other businesses. And if you care about agriculture, even if you don't live in the Paso Basin, just think for a minute, when the county does a regulation in one part of the county, Does it stop there? No, it spreads. So this dude is specific to Paso Basin, let me be clear, but the reason Grower Shippers Association, which is primarily South County, AG, they're so worried about this, and join us Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors meeting.
And Thursday mornings at 9:05 with Becky and Tom.
Tom and Becky.
There you go. All right. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Very much.
Here comes the news. Stick around. I'm Dave Congleton.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.